Welcome to Movie Richard's Movie Month, where the Atlantic Voice Network's very own in-house critic, Movie Richard, looks at what's out and about to be out at your local multiplex. I'm Zeph, and here now, the man at the concession stand, Movie Richard. It is Movie Richard's Movie Month for November. Movie Richard, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. We're back. I'm excited. I had a great night of watching MMA and boxing last night. I'm excited.
MMA. So what is your favorite of the hand-to-hand combat boxing sports?
Boxing
all. You're old school guy. The sweet science.
Absolutely, because at the end of the day, that's where it starts.
So I'm going to ask you a very trite question. Who's your favorite boxer of all time?
Floyd Mayweather.
Really?
Doesn't get hit.
Okay.
Accurate. Not knocking you out, but keeping you just a bay. Small guy like me. Gets all the money, plays the bad guy for $100 million, walks out of there without being touched with $200 million 30 minutes, my type of guy.
So I'm going to ask you a question, though. All right, so remove Floyd. Anyone, because remember, you're talking to a man in middle,
indeterminate
middle age.
All time.
Give me some older guys that you liked.
All time.
Because the greatest thing about boxing fans is they are fans of their sports
absolutely,
history.
Absolutely, absolutely. If you go way, way back, Jack Johnson. If you go up into the 60s, 70s, 80s, I was raised watching a lot of highlights of Hearns, Hagler, Leonard. Actually, it was also fortunate.
It was a glorious time, those three.
I wish I would have actually been alive in that versus right now.
I was. I remember watching Hearns, Hagler, man. That was the most brutal 3 to 4 rounds I've ever seen.
I actually just watched it again like maybe 2 weeks ago with my dad. He's born in 42, so we've seen a lot. Big fan of just the heavyweight division up until recently.
Yeah.
Wish I could have seen Mike. Wish I could have seen Evander. Wish I could have seen Rocky Marciano just one time. I don't care if Joe Louis was
Frank
37.
Bruno, London's finest, baby. Frank Bruno. Frank went hard against Mike Tyson.
I love Frank Bruno for one reason. Even now, he's always in the front row at all of the DAZN events in a beautiful suit.
Yeah.
Always very objective. Lennox Lewis, met him in D.C. as a kid. My mom's Caribbean, had a big Caribbean festival.
Oh, really?
He loved her food. Not surprised. He put me on his shoulder. Big fan of his.
My father knows, and it knew at least 15, 20 years ago, he knew Lennox Lewis's driver, who drove Lennox Lewis around town. So there you go.
Quality guy, and real quick.
Apparently, I hear that,
Real nice. I still remember, and I was like a kid, really quick also from my English fans. I'm still riding with Anthony Joshua. I'm not sold on what happened in that last fight. For all of us who've ever, unfortunately, and we do not condone violence, for all of us who've ever been in a situation where it got physical, if you get hit behind your ear, you will drop just as he did.
Yeah.
And I love Wilder, but Tyson Fury, I wish he would stop with the WWE. I want to see him get back in there. But yeah, I love the sport.
Good. So we're going to do something in the new year, and we had talked about this. We're going to look at some of the greatest boxing movies of all time.
We'll play
some Crips. Are you excited
about
that?
I can't
wait. But of course, because it's November and there is a lot going on, we're not doing that show now. Mm-hmm. You've been down to Multiplex. What have you been seeing? What was good? What was bad?
I've seen a lot recently. Caught up. I actually took, for the first time in a while, probably since one of our like early summer shows or late spring shows, I actually took 2 weekends off, and then I caught up immediately. Ad Astra. Loved it.
I saw that too. Can we talk about that then?
Yes.
So you liked it, yeah?
I did. And in the last show, I said I'm not big into reading previews. I didn't want to read any on this one. And unfortunately, I didn't read a preview, but a good friend of mine was like, Richard, you got to go see it. It has an interstellar feel, but it's not quite The Martian. It has a great story between a son and his father.
Yeah.
I love my father more than anything on this earth.
Yeah.
Just really enjoyed that story.
It was good, wasn't it? And there was something very, it was very atmospheric.
Yeah.
It was quite, slow is the wrong word, but it was quite tranquil. There's a lot of silence and a lot of just what feels like stillness, but that made it quite powerful.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Brad Pitt, I listened back, and if you haven't listened to our last show where we talked about Quentin Tarantino and specifically Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. We had many discussions about Leo DiCaprio and, of course, Brad Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Pitt was wonderful in that, wasn't he?
He was.
Great year for him. He didn't have a lot of lines. He just had this.
It was strange. It was like his aura was coming through in his acting.
That's a great way of putting it. Yeah. His aura. He just gave off this sort of.
Yeah.
You could see it all in his eyes. It was a great piece of acting by him.
Absolutely. I'm telling you, very impressed. And you know what? And I use before I'd seen it, the comparison was Interstellar, and I understand at some level why, because that movie's a long journey in itself, and this one is very different films. I enjoy.
Let me ask you the try question: a better or worse film than Interstellar? And I have my own strong opinions about Interstellar, which you and I have thrown around. So yeah. I'm asking you.
Oh man!
Both men on a journey. Love both Matt men about you know relationships with themselves, Matt their family.
Yeah,
strong leading men because McConaughey was very good
in
that.
He was good in this one.
Obviously, outstanding special effects.
Absolutely,
felt very real. Didn't feel cartoony in any which
absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely. Also, you had a really solid, subtle performance from Anne Hathaway in that film.
Yeah.
Also, some very touching elements with the family, as you said. Interstellar or Ad Astra? You know what? I still have to lean with Interstellar.
Ooh, you're going the other way.
Yeah, I know. And it's
it kills me.
It's just really quickly. It's like our boxing. You like Wilder? Do you like Joshua? I'm going to tell you why.
The tough comparisons.
Very tough. Very tough. And just like these two movies, love Brad Pitt. I love Matt McConaughey. There are about three quick things that I just have to go with.
Go with them. Let's hear it.
Interstellar. One, I'm a black hole freak. And they went into a black hole. And in my head as a kid, since kindergarten when I first heard of one, I've just been freaked out. Two, cameo of my life, Matt Damon, when they discovered him on that planet and in Interstellar. And he, oh, I'm so nice. I need help. This is my beacon. Yeah. And he, like, they have this crazy fight scene. And he leaves Matt McConaughey for dead and almost frames him. And three, even though that movie Interstellar did a little bit more loopy in some plot hole eras for sure. It was something about the ending. Spoiler alert. If you haven't seen it, it's on you at this point. It was something about you wake up and you're 130 years old.
Okay.
And your daughter is like 90 and in her last breath.
So you liked that.
Yeah. Just those three things. I enjoy that.
But I think, you said it right there. Yeah. They're actually tough comparisons because that almost, while they are both set in space and about a journey and about astronauts, Interstellar was a marvelous sort of technical.
Yeah.
Very traditional sci-fi experience. Whereas Ad Astra actually could have been...
Yeah.
He could have... Yeah, I mean, again, I was reading stuff in the previews that the comparison was the journey upriver with Apocalypse Now and all that kind of thing. It could have been set... Mm-hmm. It could have been set in the 17th century and a guy riding on his horse out to find such and such. Mm-hmm. It just happened
to be about
an astronaut. And so there was this sort of throwaway thing. But, I thought Pitt's performance... He just did so much with the time, so little.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a part of me I can't decide when I watch. Is it a great actor doing his thing? Or does there come that moment with any of them? We talk about all these guys so often where the fact of who they are, you start projecting on.
Absolutely. That's a great point.
Because if it was someone you didn't know, you might sit there and go, that dude just sat there and didn't do anything.
Yeah,
because it's Brad Pitt, you go,
oh, wow. Like, I have not figured out that question. And here's the thing, speaking to your point. When the last film I saw Brad Pitt in was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which we covered, and I'm coming into this theater with, man, he really was great in that film, and I'm into that aura of how unbelievable he was in that film. I think in a weird way I was projecting in Ad Astra. I don't know if that was great acting or not, but it worked. And
I'm going to say something about, because Pitt's worked a couple of times with Robert Redford.
Yeah.
Spy Game, which I know we were talking about, because that's been playing on cable. And also he was in when Redford directed A River Runs Through It. The greatest thing about Brad Pitt is he is a throwback to some of those guys, Redford, Newman, McQueen, where, part of it is they are just being.
Yeah.
And you do. You know it.
Yeah.
It's like Leo DiCaprio now. When he goes over the top, it's because he's been in so many Scorsese films. Yeah. And you're like, it is. Yeah. It's kind of, it's a bit of a cheat, but it's also great. I mean, he was great.
Yeah.
And he is in pretty much... He is in nearly every frame of that movie, and you never get tired.
No, not once.
Of him being there.
And you're right, tranquil was a great word. Quick question for you, because I've seen it twice. somebody with me said something powerful that I'm not going to say how I felt about it. They said, this film evens out the comparison in terms of who's the better actor is between Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt. Are you ready to say that they're equal as actors, or do you think that Brad Pitt is potentially surpassed Leo? You know, you probably can imagine where I stand. Absolutely not for me, but he's narrowed it a little bit, I guess.
There's silence because I'm not quite sure how to answer that. Because there is a part of me, and I don't want you, because you're asking me a question.
Yeah.
And this is your show.
Yes, sir.
So normally, just push you along.
Yes,
but
sir.
Because it's your show, you've asked me a question, and I have no choice now but to give you an answer.
Yes, sir.
But my honest answer is I don't like making comparisons.
Okay.
I'm going to say this. Pitt has made a career, and this movie is a great example. He has made a career of underplaying who he is.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually quite a still role mm-hmm. for him. Even in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, it's quite a laid back.
This is Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt.
Even when he's in the Ocean 11 movies, he's just there and there's all these other dudes. Like I remember in the third one, Matt Damon has to put on the funny nose and the funny accent and he's doing things. I think it's a tough comparison because Leo is a different sort of actor.
Absolutely.
Leo likes to get out there and inhabit it. Yeah. And I'm thinking of The Wolf of Wall Street and I'm thinking of The Departed. And even Inception, which is arguably a role Brad Pitt could have played.
Yeah.
I see that there's more in common. I think Mark Wahlberg and Christian Bale are at their best when they're out there inhabiting these characters.
Yeah.
I think that's when DiCaprio's at his best.
Yeah.
I think Pitt's at his best when he sort of does the reverse.
Smooth, subtle. Yeah,
he just sort of collapses back into it and you forget that you're watching Brad Pitt.
I agree with that. That's
so again, I'm gonna. You asked me a straight question.
Yeah.
It's your show. I'm still copping out.
Yeah.
I'm still copping out. So you liked Ad Astra. What else have you seen?
I'm looking through the list right now. I saw Motherless Brooklyn.
So I still haven't gone and seen that. Talk to us about that without giving away spoilers. Did you like it? Was it good?
Absolutely. Great film. Great film. Go see it.
And Edward Norton.
Yes.
Edward Norton. I don't. This is awful now. Poor man's Leo DiCaprio. When Edward Norton's out there in a role.
Absolutely.
He's out there. Even in Fight Club, he's out there.
Yeah.
There was the other one he played. Some heist movie with Robert De Niro. I can't remember what it was called.
Mm.
And the whole gimmick is he's playing someone who's like autistic or something. Yet even he is playing someone who's pretending to be, but there's a lot of like sort of
in the moment
do things. Yeah,
you know,
great cast too in that.
Yeah,
thing.
You know, honestly, it kind of snuck up on me.
Bruce Willis, I think William Dafoe's in it. Just the real
and a
list,
lot of cameos
people go,
of people that you guys would probably recognize by name. That I was like, oh, I've seen him before. Can't think of the name. I'm gonna tell you
because I think he wrote that.
I believe he
was one of the writers and he directed it.
He had something to do with the
It's like his pet project. Like it's
for
his.
Sure. What kind of brought it to my attention, initially I saw a trailer and there was a touch, they were hinting at some type of disability. They were talking maybe autism or something in it playing a part of it. Special education teacher. So I was immediately intrigued. Not to shout out another podcast. He was on the Joe Rogan Experience recently.
Okay.
Just a beautiful interview.
That's a few more listeners than us, Joe Rogan.
Yeah, just a few. We're number two. They're number one. Joe, we're coming for you, you know. But I don't know. It's like in a weird way, I'm like, after the interview, I was like, I really want to see this guy act. Just everything he spoke about, I can't say much about the film because there's so much to it that if I give anything away, it'll point you in a direction that will reveal the outcome.
Okay.
But I would just tell everybody, definitely go see it.
Okay.
What I would not say that about,
okay,
and this breaks my heart.
Do it.
Because it's the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And he's in a film called Gemini Man.
Ang Lee. That's some indie chops, Ang Lee. And yet the trailers make it look like a John Woo movie. And it's Ang Lee and I hate suddenly being all stereotypical, but it looks like it's an action movie. But too often when dudes do action movies, when it's not their thing,
I really...
Classic Hollywood trope. He's playing two parts. They all like getting their go at that, whether they're playing twins or whatever.
I love Will Smith. I'm so happy that I'm holding on to hope that Bad Boys 3 is going to be great. I'm going to continue to support him. I view him as a legend in entertainment. But he, in my opinion, is on a bad stretch with
films. He's on a bad stretch.
And it's so strange because...
And I feel bad for him.
I do too.
Because it's easy to see how every project that he ends up in, you understand why he's doing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Live action Disney Aladdin. Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense.
Makes sense. Everyone else said Lion King, I'm doing this one. Yeah. What was the one that his kid was in? Him and his kid was with M. Night Shyamalan. When M. Night Shyamalan was hot, but you're going, yeah, we want to work with M. Night Shyamalan.
And to
even with this one, he's working with Ang Lee. Yeah, it's a Hollywood director. Big,
not a bad premise either. It's strange. And what makes it so bittersweet for me is, to your point, I saw an interview like maybe 2-3 years ago. I could never find it. And he was speaking about, he just had maybe it was about 5 years ago now that I think about it, had a great run with a lot of blockbuster films.
Yes.
And he was speaking about in this chapter of his career, he really wanted to have his hand in producing and kind of reinvent himself through film and try some new things that he would not have tried earlier in his career. And I feel like even as a young person, that's what I want to do when I retire. When I'm in my 50s, I want to do something else. I want to try something. So I'm rooting for him from the point that he made the movie with his son, Afterlife.
That's
not good. He had a sci-fi type of Netflix special.
Yeah, he did that one that we talked about, the Netflix special about the fairies or whatever it was.
Well, you know, and that's what's so strange.
But he's also worked. He did, was it 8 pounds? What's the one he did?
7 pounds.
7 pounds.
Which Gemini Man makes 7 pounds look like Inception. You know, at least with 7 pounds, I could go, okay, I see what you tried there. Some people liked it. Some people didn't. Gemini Man to me is...
Well, why does it miss? Does the story not hang together? Because it's an action movie.
Yeah,
it's about
the action's
him
great.
And about a clone.
His acting is actually good.
It's why doesn't it hang together?
It just seems so corny and just so ridiculously predictable.
It's been done, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just like you can kind of just, and I'm not even going to give that much away about the film. Okay, someone's trying to kill you. Oh, man, it's me. Now this thing that is me that's trying to kill me is going to have a conflict. You can just about figure out where the rest of it goes from there. Am I going to kill me? Is me going to kill me?
Is he good in it? Or
yes.
And I know, again, I'm asking questions. Is he good in it or is he dragged down by the material?
I mean...
Or you still don't go, yep, I got it. And I'm trying to think of some donkeys that maybe Leo or Brad have been just because they're the dudes we're talking about.
Yeah, I can't even think of one. Boy. He was good. I thought his acting wasn't poor. I thought he actually really sold the role. But the story is just so predictable. Like, to me, it's just...
It's almost like, what are these guys doing in that?
Exactly. Like, it just... For the budget that I heard and the special effects is great. And the action and the time I'm sure they took to make the film. I was just like, well, like, I would rather you do Aladdin 2 than this. And I thought Aladdin was horrible. I'm just... holding out hope for Bad Boys 3 because I'm not a fan of this, a lot of the content and things that he's
doing.
But
does that save, without seeing it, does that save Will Smith? Do you think part of it is that the same audience that do you think there's an audience that likes Bad Boys and actually aren't interested in riding along with him to some other things?
Yes.
Do you think that's part of the problem?
Yes.
Because those movies have been so successful.
Yeah.
That when he does do something else, because I don't think this is about his ability.
Absolutely not. I agree.
When he does do other things, his core audience doesn't come with him.
It's a strange thing, and I'm going to use an artist, popular artist.
And I'm going to use some other people who have struggled with that a little bit.
You go first.
Mel Gibson struggled with that a little bit. He was so successful in Lethal Weapon, but he was a bit hit and miss when he got away from that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a couple of other people. Bruce Willis.
Absolutely.
When he's not John McClane, even when he's in action thrillers, the audience don't roll along.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford. So there are some, we've got some big names legends here. When they're not playing those characters that we associate with them, we're a lot tougher on them as an audience.
There's a very popular entity rapper I was going to say the same thing about really quickly. It's like 50 Cent. At this point in his career, he's a businessman. But all of us who grew up with him were used to the gangster image. We want to see him in gangster movies. We want to see him doing gangster stuff because we grew up at his peak with him. Get Rich or Die Trying, one of the most gangster rap albums of all time.
Okay.
So when you see him do anything other than that, it's like you're holding that in your head. And the reason I use that example, with Will Smith, every time his name comes up, when I'm speaking to friends here, North Carolina, D.C., late night, Arlington, anywhere, you end up speaking about the same things. Man, I love The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Oh, man, you remember the 90s with Get Jiggy with It? Oh, man, the Bad Boys film were great. Man, you remember Ali? They're these peak movies. Enemy of the State. And then every now and then you might have one person go, you remember Bagger Vance? You go, yeah, kind of. But it's strange. Like now it's just like, it's like I want Bad Boys Will Smith only. And it's weird, man. It's weird. And some of these choices I just don't agree with. Also,
he has become Burt Reynolds.
You know,
I hate to say that. Yeah. We do. We have an expectation for how we're going to see him.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I actually think he should have taken the Martin Lawrence route and just took a few years off, do the social media stuff. Maybe, I don't know, he still has interest in music, maybe even try some music stuff, then pop back up. And you know what? Here's a scary thing that I don't think anyone.
I'm going to give a comparison to two other actors. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but just, and again, and I don't want to, I'm going to give you a, I'm going to give you a positive comparison and a negative comparison. Yeah. The negative comparison is with Jamie Foxx, who has done many different things, and now we are not freaked out when he comes in doing something different.
Yeah.
The other comparison, and I mentioned his name a bit earlier, and I worry he's going the same way now as Will Smith. Mark Wahlberg, who now keeps trolling in the same sort of movies, and they're not very good, and they should be good, but it's like, really, who's interested anymore?
Yeah.
I feel like Will Smith has so much more in common with Mark Wahlberg in terms of their career track.
Yeah.
Whereas Jamie Foxx has shown that if you take some time off, you keep it moving, you freshen it up, you go back to TV, you come back out again, you do this, you do that. Jamie Foxx is very, there's that, some people are going to laugh when I say this now. There's that very sort of 60s, almost Frank Sinatra persona, and then I'll give it up.
And
I'll do everything. And then no one pegs me as one thing or another.
And by the way, speaking of, because we're going to be covering boxing movies later, I cannot wait to see Jamie Foxx's Mike Tyson. They've been keeping that film under wraps for years.
I will be curious.
He's done one preview where he's just in a room like this speaking about it, and he's doing Mike Tyson's voice, and like the whole trailer himself will give you chills if you listen to it. To segue into
another. So Gemini Man, not good.
No, not good.
Okay.
Not good. Real quick, Zombieland 2, really fun.
Double Tap. Was that fun? I love that first movie.
I love the first one too, like one of my favorites. And I was like, man, I wonder if they can even get half of this again.
Do they?
Really close.
Good.
Close.
Good.
Close. There's some.
Because I was a bit leery when I'm like, ooh.
There's some cheesy elements to it, but it's close. It was fun. Another one of my surprise films, because I had very, very low expectations for this one, Terminator.
So let's talk Terminator now.
It's
out. That thing is hot off the presses. Terminator Dark Fate, I think it is the sixth in the franchise. Yeah. Fifth, who knows?
Can't believe I saw it,
fourth,
honestly.
Fourth with Arnold.
Yeah.
So you go into Terminator Dark Fate.
Yeah.
That is a franchise that perhaps is my age. Let's put it that again. That's an 80s, 90s action franchise that resonates with the likes of me.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is I saw those movies in the cinema. You've only seen them on TV.
Yeah.
So you said to yourself, I'm surprised I went. Why did you go?
A good friend of mine's Terminator freak.
Okay.
This person went and saw some films, It 2, that they didn't want to see.
Okay.
And I was like promising myself I was not going to see another Terminator. Saw the trailers, were honestly just repulsed by it. It seemed very cheesy.
Same old thing.
Same old thing. I'll be back. Okay. Yeah. Oh, they run into each other. I got to kill. Like, but you know what? There's another new Terminator. Oh, my God. It's unkillable. Oh, Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to come help. But you know what? It honestly was an extremely entertaining film. It was very cheesy. But the action was great. The combat scenes were great. The storyline was a little bit different than they portrayed it in the trailers and the commercials. Just different enough where you go, okay, that was kind of clever, some of the little things they did. The acting was, and like I said, I had very low expectations. It was better than I thought it would be. And I caught myself, after the first 10 minutes, I kind of checked out. And I was like, oh, let me stop. And I got my nachos and came back. And I really gave it my undivided attention. I was like, you know, that was pretty good. I was happy with that. I could invite some people over in a year or so and turn it on and watch that with some people. It was actually pretty good for what it was. I would recommend it. Friday night, nothing really to see.
Because it's had like sort of middling reviews. Yeah. I think like 65% of Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, it's not going to change your life. No. It's not going to change your life.
But if someone drags you along, it's worth the $14 or whatever it is.
You're bored. You're like, I want to see something kind of simple. But yeah, it's good. It was good for what it was. And there's some people who made a comparison, like, because we always talk about Fast and Furious being those type of films. And a friend of mine was like, well, do you think it was better than the Hobbs films? I was like, no. Okay, like I know the Hobbs films are not – the Fast and Furious Hobbs film is not going to win an Oscar. It was way better written than this Terminator film. But in that same vein of like you sat down, you watched something really entertaining for over an hour, a lot of action, story simple but not too stupid, some twists. You go, okay, well done. You come up, you leave, you go, okay, I enjoyed that.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's didn't insult your intelligence in a way that Gemini Man did, where, as you said, that just all sort of became, I can see this coming.
Yeah. And I would have thought Terminator would have fallen been down that road. And I would have thought Gemini Man would have tried something different because we've seen that premise. Another one. So, yeah, Terminator. You got some free time here. Go see it.
Okay.
C-plus film. Entertaining for sure. Arnold Schwarzenegger was solid. Another film I watched, and I did not watch the series. This is on Netflix. I know we're going to be speaking about some streaming services. I watched the Breaking Bad film.
El Camino.
Yeah. Good film.
Were you a fan of the series?
Did not watch it.
And someone tried to make me watch El Camino the other day, and I'm like, yeah, I didn't see Breaking Bad. I ain't watching this.
Yeah, and you know what? That was actually my mentality because the reason I didn't watch Breaking Bad without getting into it, a lot of the things that show was about happen in real life where I'm from.
Okay.
And it has affected a lot of people I care about.
Yeah.
So I intentionally stayed away from it. But this film I thought was good. I thought it was a good film. Especially on Netflix where I'm not really paying anything.
So let's go to Netflix then.
Yeah.
Because The Irishman is coming up. That's taken. Everyone is talking about that. Cannot because wait. All the politics of the fact that it's on Netflix. But it's going to be in the cinema. Yeah. So come to me about with streaming.
Okay, well we're in a new era. Netflix has been king forever, and slowly but surely everyone has been trying to find ways to compete, and they have. First off, I think it was NBC Universal with their streaming services coming out bought Friends. Didn't affect me at all, but they lost a lot of viewers there. So now we're at this point where Apple TV's just launched for $4.99 with some quality content that I would say it is worth the $4.
Okay.
Disney Plus is coming out very soon. If not, it might have just come out today. Coming out very soon. Also extremely affordable price. And really quickly about this Disney Plus, not only are they ripping everything Disney has from Netflix's library, their lineup of what they're releasing for anyone who's remotely interested in any comic book stuff is ridiculous. They have like 15 film stuff that I would have thought would have been films coming out of series. And then I think the third is NBC Universal, who apparently is just going to take all of their sitcoms and put it there. And it's kind of...
So what do you subscribe
right
to?
Now
what are you planning to subscribe to?
Right now I have Netflix.
Because I have Netflix and I have Amazon Prime.
I have Hulu. I just got recently Amazon Prime. I have the new Apple Plus. Really enjoying the movie, what's it called? Movie Room, Newsroom show with Jennifer Aniston and Steve Carell. Really enjoying that. I would.
They also have a very interesting sort of alternative history about the space race, but they've been advertising on regular TV. I think it's called For All Mankind.
We'll watch it.
So yeah.
And real quick,
are you gonna get Disney?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Because if that's your thing,
yeah, I mean,
and to be fair, they already started Advantage because they have the property. Yeah, so they got Marvel and they got Star Wars.
Come on,
so that's a big chunk.
Come on,
there's a whole load of people within that Venn diagram of I like both. Yeah,
I mean, what I got out of Disney's rollout, because I watched, I think it was a Complex Comic Con. This is what I got out of the rollout. Avengers is over. The new one's coming out in 3 years. Every character that we can't make a movie for is about to have a movie-like series. I'm all in. Okay. All of the Star Wars stuff is going to be there. Who cares? I'm all in.
Okay.
For my nieces who come over and run all around the house, all the Disney cartoons are going to be there. I'm all in.
What are you? Are you going to drop anything then? Maybe that's my next question for you.
Man, I'm...
If, and again, if Netflix is the one who was the big boy and has been leaking properties, are you thinking... Because at some moment, I mean, can it sustain itself having so many different... It's a bit like cable TV, but... Because again, you've got to cut... To make it worth your while, you've got to cut one cord.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm down to pay like $40 on streaming a month when I pay for cable.
Because
like,
you have cable.
The last one's dying breed. So do that. I.
Yeah, no.
Both of us. So my thing is, the only thing that's holding me to Netflix, they get stand-up specials with people that they've already signed. My number one fan of Dave Chappelle.
They produce those. There's like an assembly line of those things. So I have Sirius in my car.
Yeah.
And they have like five comedy stations. Yeah. One of them was just renamed this year Netflix Comedy Channel.
Yeah.
And it is nothing but stuff, cuts and rips from all their guys.
Yeah.
And you can listen for an hour and you can hear 15 different comedians do their best stuff.
Yeah.
And you can sometimes tell, you know, they'll package hours where it's all the same theme, whatever, but it's, I mean, again, that's their thing.
Yeah.
And I guess this is why they're now getting into making their own movies, such as The Irishman. Yeah. This summer, I watched, was it called Triple Threat? It had Oscar Isaac, Ben Affleck, and a couple of other people.
Yeah.
And it was a made-for-Netflix movie made by the dude who made the film Margin Call, which is a personal favorite of mine. And it's about these guys who are like sort of mercenaries, ex-soldiers, who go to take back the drug money from the drug kingpin or something. Very entertaining, 2 hours.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, it's... For someone like me now, who, again, is of an age... There were two forms of movie. There was go to cinema movie, and then there was TV movie. And at that moment, if something's a TV movie, you could sit and watch immediately, and you knew you were watching a TV
movie.
The production value was a bit less. Yeah. The quality of cast was
Sci-fi's
a bit less.
Sci-fi's whole channel. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But to be fair, you know, I think, and I want to give credit where credit's due, HBO were the first boys to go, we can do movie production stuff, but for TV.
Yeah.
And if you go back and watch any of their great TV shows.
Sopranos. Yeah. Quality.
Which I think apparently there's a Sopranos prequel coming out.
Apparently
that they're making.
And Game of Thrones prequel.
And Game of Thrones, which I don't watch, but Thrones.
Yeah. Massive. It's a big deal.
If I went to the cinema and had my popcorn and just paid $15 and an episode of Game of Thrones come up, I'm not sitting there going, but this is a TV show.
Absolutely.
So to give credit where credit's due, I felt like HBO did it, but Netflix have perfected the art of content that exists.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question about The Irishman, because we had this debate within our house. Someone said to me, we need to go and see this when it comes out in the cinema.
Yeah.
And I go, but it's 3 hours long, man.
Yeah.
So then I said, why would I go to the cinema to watch it when it's coming to, when it's going to be on Netflix 2 weeks later?
Yeah.
How are you planning to watch The Irishman?
I think I just saw that it's 3 hours and 29 minutes.
It's more
minutes.
Than 3 hours. It's Quentin Tarantino on steroids.
Yeah, I will be at home. I just, for the exact same reason, a part of me, because I thought we were going to cover it in the show, so I thought it came out the first. That's when it comes out in theaters.
That's what comes out in theaters. Select cities. Now, yes.
And I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to go rush and see it before the show. 3 hours and 29 minutes?
That's a long time.
We're both in education. We only get 2 days off.
I need always to go to the bathroom.
Exactly. I can't. I can't. I can't give 3 hours, 3.5 hours of my Saturday for a film I can watch at home and pause it when I'd like.
Because it comes out on Netflix, I think, Thanksgiving week. I think it comes out at the end of the month.
Yeah, right after the Wilder fight, yes.
Because I think the whole gimmick is they want to stick it in the cinema so it can be up for an Oscar.
Absolutely.
But ultimately realizing that most people are probably going to watch it on their big screen TV.
Absolutely. Wish there was a great article about how Hollywood's infuriated by that. But yeah, I have to watch that one at home. I'm excited. I was so disappointed when I realized that it doesn't come out to the end of the month. But I can wait. I love gangster films.
Black cast. I mean, you're just sitting there going, like, your eyes are popping.
Everyone's in it. And I can't remember the name of that. It's green screen / it makes you look younger technology.
Yeah, they spent millions.
Yeah.
Millions. Netflix said, Scorsese, what do you need? Because I read an interview, I think in the British Guardian newspaper this week, they sat down with Pacino and De Niro together and they were talking about themselves. But apparently, so The Irishman was very much a De Niro idea that he'd had for years. And then when they finally, and even Pacino has said, Robert mentioned this to me 9 years ago and nothing happened. And then I saw him again. He goes, what's going on? Blah, 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 blah. And De Niro and then Pacino, and then as they added the other dudes in, Joe Pesci, they were adamant, we're not going to do this unless there is the technology for us to play our younger selves. Apparently for De Niro, at a creative end, he didn't want a movie where it was so-and-so playing him when he's younger. In the same way that, like in Godfather 2, it's De Niro playing Brando.
Yeah.
But De Niro was adamant, no. And Scorsese agreed. And then apparently Netflix were the ones who completely underwrote the super special effects that's going to de-age them.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a huge deal. I'm excited to see it. That is the only benefit of Gemini Man. You get to see a light version of it because the green screen style clone that he's facing is like definitely a younger Will Smith.
Is it off-putting in Gemini Man? Because I'm now going to ask that question. Are we worried about, I've seen a few clips. Yeah. I've seen all the trailers for The Irishman. I notice it, but I'm not put off by it.
Yeah, you know,
Maybe because De Niro and Pacino are all actors that, We live with their filmography. Like, they don't age to us.
Because
when we go back and watch The Godfather, what, I still Al Pacino?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it didn't. I actually thought it looked better for Gemini Man in the theater than it did in the commercials. I thought it looked ridiculous in the commercials.
Okay.
It looks better when you're actually watching. I'm excited to see. There's a phrase for it. It's this new thing, the de-aging element. And I think the budget for that film was ridiculous.
Because a lot of it apparently was those special effects.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's a 3-hour, 30-minute movie with these names. And I have not clicked on any of the reviews, but I've seen the titles. Everyone's saying masterpiece. I'm excited. I love gangster films.
We're going to cover that movie in December. Absolutely. And I think when we cover that movie, we'll also have to do a lot of comparison with prior.
Yeah.
The prior De Niro, Pacino, Scorsese, all these guys. But it does look unbelievable.
I actually know one person.
Are you worried it might not live up to the hype?
Not really. And I'll tell you why. I actually know one person who somehow has already seen it. And I know they wouldn't lie to me about that. And they know how I feel about spoilers. And I said, without giving it away, what am I dealing with here? And this is all they said, because I love gangster films. They said, Richie, you love the American Gangster? I said, absolutely. They said, it is the greatest gangster film that has ever come out. Wouldn't say anything else.
And I got to tell you something. That is a genre.
Yeah.
Like the Western.
Yeah.
Like World War II movies.
Yeah.
Where when you start going through the best, you're going, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I mean, I forget because it was done by an Englishman and it came out at a time when the gangster story was being told on TV opposed to cinema. I've forgotten how great American Gangster is.
Great film, man.
You got American Gangster. You got even the third Godfather.
Yeah.
Three Godfathers. Yeah. Goodfellas, of course.
Absolutely.
Casino. I mean, just.
There are tons of them. There are tons of them. They're even, and real quick, and we'll cover it on the show.
So if that's the bar, then you must feel good about
it. I feel good about it because this person, older than me as well, seen them all 100 times, knows what I'm into, knows how I feel about American Gangster from my generation. I'm excited to see it.
Okay. All right. So we will talk about that next month. So let's kind of come to the last big topic. And the segue is because we're talking gangster movies are all about villains.
Absolutely.
You went to see Joker.
Seen it twice.
So what drive? Let me ask you this way. Because I was aware that movie was coming out. And I'm like, yeah. I like Joaquin Phoenix. Mm. Like him a lot. I think he's one of the most underrated actors of his generation. In the way that I think Jake Gyllenhaal is very underrated. De Niro's in it. What made you go in? But I looked at it and I watched it and I'm like, yeah, I'm just not. I don't know. I wasn't there.
Well, I started in the same place. Comic book nut. We've covered that. A comic book movie nut. In the beginning, when it was announced, Joaquin Phoenix is going to play Joker, I'm like, this is, without even reading anymore, I'm like, this is going to be the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I'm not going to go see it.
You're not alone then.
Have zero interest. Right. Like, absolutely. Some people had that perspective. It was like, oh, no, Heath Ledger and Jack Nicholson. I was just like, that sounds ridiculous. And I don't want to see it. In the last maybe 2 months before it came out, I just...
But you say that, though. That is a tough ask for an actor.
It is.
He's got Heath Ledger and Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
So you got people my age and people your age. Those are their definitive...
Absolutely.
...jokers. And to be fair, I read a great article and then I YouTube bits of it. Who gets forgotten as a great Joker is Mark Hamill, who plays Joker in the cartoon Batman series. And they say, and it's true, I went YouTubing it, and you close your eyes, and like, I'm not watching a cartoon, I just listen. Mm-hmm. Mark Hamill's Joker is brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not as familiar with that one for sure, but...
Nor was I.
Yeah.
But I would say this to the listeners, check out Mark Hamill's Joker.
I definitely will be soon.
Even comic book fanatics go, oh no, that's a really good Joker. So all of a sudden, if you're Joaquin Phoenix, you're almost on a...
It didn't seem like a winnable situation.
You can't win, right?
And I'm feeling in a weird way, and we covered this on a previous show, I'm like, I'm not going to get Han Solo'd again, where I'm going into a film like Han Solo having these high expectations because of the character, and they drop the ball, even though Joaquin Phoenix is a name. I'll tell you, man, startling film, disturbing film. I'm beginning to understand the psychological toll it took on him to play this role. There are a lot of little articles that have come out.
Yeah.
I developed disorders, my physical, all type of things. And I was like,
he went all in. I mean, that's who he is as an actor, too.
Absolutely. And when I'm reading these, because this is one of the few movies I actually read a lot of previews about before I saw. And everyone's just praising me, saying...
Why did you read the previews on this one? Because you weren't convinced you wanted to go.
Absolutely.
You needed to convince yourself.
Yeah, I literally was like... I can miss this. As a guy who goes and sees every comic book thing ever, I was like, I just don't care. And then I see, like, oh, man, it's the best independent film. It won some award. And I'm like, okay. Then I'm seeing all these weird things that he developed playing this role. I'm like, all right. And I just needed to convince him. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to go see it. Saw it like the Thursday night before release. It was packed, the theater, by the way. Like I said, disturbing film. He went to places... In his portrayal of Joker that I would have never imagined, that was a Revenant level performance. That was a performance I'll remember for the rest of my life. The movie was great. Everyone in it was solid. But the tone of the film is dark. It is as dark of... People say, oh, Deadpool's dark because of the comedy. The vulgar language. Absolutely not. Not a dark film. People say those Batman films were dark, which before I saw this, I was like, okay, yeah. This was by far the darkest comic book film and one of the darkest movies I've ever seen in my life.
Is it a tough watch then? With that?
Yes.
It is.
And it's so funny because at the school I was working at the time, a lot of us, all different ages, demographics, went and saw it like from that Thursday night to, let's say, that Monday. So I'm coming in Monday wondering what everyone's going to say about it. Everyone, hey, did you see Joker? That same facial expression. Yeah. It was intense. It was an intense film. And it takes you on a ride. And it's so strange because, like I said, all of my coworkers, different backgrounds, different places. Some lived in Reston their whole life. Some lived in D.C. Some, like me, lived in North Carolina. it spoke to us all in a way that was very strange. It's weird. It's like watching a wreck, a horrible wreck. You don't want to look at a wreck. No one wants to be in a wreck. But when you're passing, you're like, you kind of look over and peek, but for over an hour. It's a rough film. Without giving it away, the final scene in that film is as dark a scene as I've seen in a very long time.
So let me ask you a question, because for most of the audience, and I want to say this because I think the movie-going audience, obviously, we're all much savvier than we were 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. Does it also come as a bit of a surprise because of, and you just talked about, those Batman movies were dark, and this, and Heath Ledger, and blah, 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 blah. And you do see, even if you go from, Jack Nicholson to Heath Ledger, and while that's 30-odd years, although for me, because it's within my lifetime, it never feels that long, you've got two things that are almost north and south ends of a magnet. How much further in that direction does Joaquin Phoenix's portrayal of his character, does Heath Ledger's Joker look like a teddy bear compared to how, way.
This is, and Heath Ledger.
I mean, they're very different movies too, because they are both without a hero.
Absolutely. And here's the hardest part about comparing the two. Heath Ledger was Joker in a Batman movie. Joaquin Phoenix is the whole movie's Joker, and it's an origin story. Both great performances. One of the best things about
because there is no hero in Joker, is there?
There is not.
Did that make it? Obviously, does that make it tougher?
Yeah. And I'm a guy who roots for the villain, but in the same way that Heath Ledger just mastered these mannerisms and these behaviors that some of them were not scripted, and he added it to the Joker, the little thing he was doing whole
great
film.
Yeah.
Great performance. I was wondering, how is Joaquin Phoenix? I know he can't do the same mannerisms because then that's the copy.
Because then he's doing a Heath Ledger impersonation.
Exactly.
No one wants to see that.
And Heath Ledger is my number one.
Right.
Heath Ledger is my number one villain of my lifetime. This Joaquin Phoenix, somebody said to me, and we've been debating this at work for like a full week after it came out. Joaquin Phoenix, if they said Joaquin Phoenix's portrayal was better than Heath Ledger's, I would not get mad.
Really?
Because the mannerisms and how they went into the disabilities he had and why he had the mannerisms, and he has a laugh that he cannot control.
Right.
Which we've known, it's so strange. I've been watching Batman stuff my whole life.
That's why he's the Joker.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I didn't know it was a disability
and
how they touched on that. But for some reason, I kept thinking that laugh is going to get old or it's going to be stupid in the film. I don't know how he did it. It scares you and you're in awe of it at the same time. It's like, it's not redundant. It's not repetitive. It's not out of place. It's awkwardly powerful. His performance, man, it was just it was like a bad guy you root for, but would never, ever, if you saw anyone with those traits in real life, you would report them to the police immediately. It's like a bad guy that has an underdog role that at some point in your life, you felt a little bit of, oh, we're not being looked out for, et cetera, et cetera. Some social elements they touched on. But his portrayal of it was just, it was horrific and beautiful. It was dark. Those Batman films, and I used to think this, but I wasn't sure. Those Batman films were considered dark, in my opinion, because they were like rated R versus Marvel movies, which were so fluffy. We have to reevaluate all of what dark was now.
Well, so that's what I'm going to ask. Is there any sense of, is there a plan with Joaquin Phoenix playing this character to do any more with this? Or is there a sense that it tells a complete story that can sit on its own? Obviously, it has. But do you have a sense that, because it's a DC property, obviously.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And DC were involved in it, even though they're doing something slightly left field. Do you feel like there was a sense like they're going to do more with this? Or was this a one-shot thing?
Well, this is what I'll say.
Because maybe that's the challenge then. You've created this character, but to your point about, the Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy, which we think of as being very adult and dark and realistic and all that type of stuff. if the plan was to do more with this, is there any way to integrate it into the standard comic book world that exists, even at Christopher Nolan levels?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't know how.
Because if you have
that.
Superman or someone show up in this movie, it just makes the whole thing seem ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
unless
with this
just,
portrayal.
Exactly. Unless you're just going to go hardcore rated R with all of it the rest of the way. The only thing that I know for certain is
But even then, does that even work?
I don't think so.
You can't do that because your hero can't be a dude in a cape.
Yeah, I don't.
Do you know what I mean? The contrast is just too much.
Yeah, I think
Ledger, as far as you can go.
Yeah.
To get that sort of evil villainy, because ultimately your movie, like I say, involves dudes dressing up in capes. I mean, that's the truth.
You would have to really redefine all of it. Like, you would have to take a director, and I'm not sure
anyone's willing to do that.
This is the only thing I could see. You take a director with the same approach and someone bold enough to go like way deep into the comics when Superman went dark. And then rearrange it from that perspective. The only thing I know for a fact, because it's grown so much, they're going to have to make a decision if they make a sequel or something like that. I've not read anything at this particular time that says that they had any plans beyond this. The one thing I do know is that this killed Jared Leto's Joker. And I don't know if you've read about his gripes with this and that he allegedly tried to get this thing shut down through his agent.
Right.
Rightfully so. And also, unfortunately, he had his opportunity at Joker as well. I thought it was absolute trash. I thought Suicide Squad, as I said on this, was average at best trash. There's no reason for anyone else to play Joker right now but Joaquin Phoenix. But I don't know how they can integrate it. So to me, if I'm them, I'm either taking the next 3-4 years and making another one, or it's done. There's no Joker for a long time. You can't go back to Jared Leto. Heath Ledger's performance stands alone. This one stands alone.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, you can't. You also, until they, and it does bring me to Robert Pattinson, who's going to be the next Batman. Jesus. Until they establish the next Batman, which is going to take a while.
Don't even get me started on that.
You're not a fan.
I.
Ooh, look, you're very preemptively judging things here.
I am. I am baffled by...
The dude who went to get nachos in the Terminator
movie
isn't ready to give Robert Pattinson
the benefit of the doubt. And it's hard because it's not his fault. It's Twilight's fault. I can't see a guy... When Ben Affleck got the role for Batman, everyone was saying, oh, it's Ben Affleck. How is he going to play Batman? And I'm like, I get that, but Ben Affleck has been in adult films. I could see that transition. Okay. Robert Pattinson, all I think about is Twilight.
Okay.
Which to me was like horrible. Okay. The books were horrible. The movies, I saw one because I'm in college, like the girl, she made me go see it.
Okay.
One of the worst films I've ever seen in my entire life. I just can't overlook. It's like if someone were to say, Zac Efron is going to play Batman. And okay. I like Zac Efron more than I like Robert Pattinson because he's had some adult films lately. I'd be like, what? Oh, no, I got one. If somebody said, Zac Efron is going to play Mickey Ward, the boxer, or Ricky Hatton.
Okay.
I'd go, excuse me, the High School Musical guy? Can't do it. So I'm going to go see it, but I just can't understand how that's going to work.
Well, okay, so we're getting into that comic book discussion now.
Yeah.
And again, I mentioned these are DC properties. Mm-hmm. We've had these discussions before. You haven't been overly thrilled. You've given credit where credit's due, but it's safe to say you weren't overly thrilled with the whole Ben Affleck, Henry Cavill, that whole Batman-Superman thing. Does DC's decision now to push Joker out there and then deliver a movie like this that's very adult, And like you say, you walk out the cinema and you're having a reaction that you didn't think you would have from comic book material.
Absolutely.
What does this say now about the comic book genre for a while? Can people go back and watch Hey, Superman. Hey.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know how you do. I don't know how we go back to traditional comic book films as we know it. I know Marvel in their last few had been trending a little bit more adult themes, but they're still ultimately PG-13.
But that's what I'm saying. This is the problem with their comic books come to life. Whereas Joker, and I've seen the trailers, Joker, again, has more in common with Robert De Niro's Taxi Driver than it has with a Batman movie.
It really does.
And so where do comic books go if this is... Because here's the thing.
Yeah.
And I asked you, do they have plans to do more things with Joaquin Phoenix's version of the character? But even if they do or they don't, the one thing you and I could probably put money on the table and win money back is someone else is going to pick a villain and attempt to do a backstory origins movie.
Absolutely.
I mean, Lex Luthor is just waiting there for someone to do
that. Yeah, we've been waiting.
Which I would go and watch.
Yeah, I would go see
that.
Too.
They could DH Gene Hackman so I can watch.
I would be down with that.
So, and it's a great idea.
Yeah.
But what does that do to your very sort of... cartoonish lead characters.
I don't know.
This is what I'm saying. You can't put Joaquin Phoenix in a movie with Henry Cavill flying. It just doesn't work.
It's not going to work. And Henry Cavill's out anyway, which I'm extremely disappointed about. And then I don't know how they make the next Batman film. I don't see how, without giving away the scene or anything, I saw somebody in the film get their brains blown out.
Okay.
That happened multiple times. This wasn't a traditional comic book where it's like the gun goes off and then the scene flips. You saw everything. It's going to be hard to go back from that to, like you said, a guy on a cape. And with all the questions about how they're going to even handle Robert Pattinson now, I do not know what DC's going to do. I know what Marvel's more than likely going to do. They're going to stick to the formula.
Because it works for them.
It works for them. They're going to play it cool for a while.
To be fair, on DC, they had to try something because they've been all over the shop.
Yeah, exactly. But it even makes me wonder because they're doing like the all-female version of Suicide Squad coming out in early next year with a Margot Robbie, who was the biggest star, in my opinion, of the Suicide Squad film. I don't know how I'm going to go and see that, even though that's supposed to be a darker film. It's not going to be like this. It's redefined all of DC's comic book movies for me.
Some of the negatives of the movie for you, did it fall short in any area? Obviously, his performance is through the roof.
Yeah, his is great.
I mean, I'm going to put words in your mouth. It's an Oscar-worthy performance, right?
Absolutely.
Anything fall short for you? Anything where you go, or ultimately, because of how it makes you feel?
Yeah. You know, and this is a weird one, and it's just me. I would have been cool with absolutely no element of Batman in this film. And it was subtle how they handled it.
Sure.
I think I could have done without any of it at any level.
Do you think that might have been like a sop, though, to the people who were sort of... Yeah. Again, because I mean... No, I actually meant to the non-hardcore.
Oh, well...
What I mean by that is you're hardcore, so you get it.
Yeah.
So you're going to watch a movie about Joker.
Yeah.
But there's a whole lot of people like, oh, isn't that the guy from the Batman movies? Yeah. Who, if you don't reference Batman in some level, you're a bit wide-eyed lady for going, well, I don't understand. There was no Batman in it.
Well, I'll tell you here would be my answer to that question.
Because it works without it.
Exactly.
Like, didn't need Batman.
I think there are like three, real quick, there are three levels of comic book film guy. There's like casual guy that you just define, which is like, okay, isn't that Batman?
Right.
Then there's like casual hardcore. That's where I would put myself. Okay. I know stuff. And then there's like...
But you ain't too upset if, well, my issue from 1983, I'm not going to do that.
Okay. And then there's like hardcore. It's like, wait a minute.
That's that dude.
Yeah, on page 2 of 1942, that's not how that happened. This movie sucks.
Star Trek fan. Star Wars fan.
Yeah. Matt, I'm so sorry because my friend Matt is a hardcore. He literally, if one thing is different, like, that's not all of the comics. I actually, in a weird way, felt like they did it for Mr. Super Hardcore Guy. Because if you were just a little disinterested in that film, you could kind of miss how they used the Batman element. Okay. But I felt like they did that for... I felt like somebody said, okay, for the super hardcore guy who's going to critique everything we do in this film, we have to answer some of these questions because it is a part of Joker's story.
Okay.
For me personally, as semi-hardcore guy, love the film, but not going to read a comic book at 28. I think it would have, because it was such a standalone, strong performance, I think it would have actually been a perfect film if you removed Batman from it completely. I really do. I didn't need anything dealing with Batman at all in that film because it was so powerful. It was so... sensational. It was surprising. It brought out a lot of emotions and weird feelings that I didn't expect. And in a weird way, if I were going to say what I didn't really like about the film, those little subtle, without saying what it was, how they used Batman in the film, like, I don't care about that right now because it makes me think about all what we discussed. Oh, okay. God, Batman. Oh, Robert Pattinson. Oh, they got rid of, you know, I didn't need it at all. Because if you remove that from the story, it's still a great film.
Because it lives in its own universe, doesn't
Absolutely.
It? All right, so let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we're going to examine The Irishman because obviously by the next show, we're going to talk that to death. And mm-hmm. I can imagine mm-hmm. that there are going to be some people from that nominated.
Absolutely.
Brad Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Brad Pitt for... We're going to give Leo Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give Brad Pitt for Ad Astra mm-hmm. so they can be in the same category as Best Actor.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think. I had something on the tip of my tongue from earlier this year. But I'm going to say, is Joaquin Phoenix making the best five?
Oh, yeah.
If he doesn't get nominated, and again, Hollywood yeah. can be funny about material. Yeah. Like, yeah. It's easy to nominate Heath Ledger in a Christopher Nolan yeah, Batman absolutely. Movie. It's something entirely yeah. in a movie that's quite tough to yeah. turn around and give that lead actor some love.
Yeah.
But we'll put those three in. So Joaquin Phoenix deserves to be in the conversation with best actor.
Absolutely.
Edward Norton, do you think he might get in there?
Yes. Oh, I think he should.
Okay.
I don't think he will. I think he should.
I think he should. And again, because we're now talking about a couple of strong performances yeah. that you've seen
yes.
in the last 6, 7, 8 weeks, which yes. is all it's been.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that sounds pretty legit.
And that would be that. So it's what's five for the
it's supposed
nominee.
To be five, but let's just
Edward Norton should definitely be in that fifth, and we're going to assume someone from The Irishman is going to be the fourth.
I'm trying to think if there's anyone else from this year in anything that's been on. Maybe
it's stuff that I know is not going to get. There's their
Bohemian Rhapsody. The Bohemian Rhapsody movie was last year, wasn't it? That was last Oscars. Yes.
Yes.
So the dude that played Elton John, is he in the conversation?
Mm.
Because we're starting to get into award season.
Him and Edward Norton.
Because there's not long left. Your movie yeah. needs to be out by Christmas if yeah, you want to be yeah. up for an Oscar.
He
put it this way. No one from Star Wars is getting
in. I know. No one from Endgame is getting right, in, exactly. and I'm pissed about that. We know Robert Downey Jr. should be in that. We know that. And Tom Holland should be in supporting actor for Spider-Man. But anyway, Tom Holland, the future. But I'm serious, and
Phoenix is going to be in there. He needs to be
Phoenix
for this performance.
Is the winner.
Because here's the yeah. thing. If he doesn't pull it off in this movie, mm-hmm. Joker bombs.
Absolutely.
Doesn't matter if people go, oh, the concept was great. No,
stupidest film of
idea.
All time.
Right, exactly.
DC's finish, actually, in my
right.
opinion.
He carried them. He had to carry it, didn't he?
He is the Oscar winner this year. There's wow. just...
It's that good of a performance.
You're not a comic book guy. You just got to go see it for yourself.
Okay.
It's one of those where you're just okay. like... You walk out of there going, that was great. And then the other thought is, what in the world did I just watch?
And that's very rare.
Yeah, it's a strange
that's
feeling.
Very rare
I
for a comic
that.
We can walk out of a comic movie and go, yeah. that was funny, or that action was great, or wasn't he? Oh, Downey was brilliant once
yeah.
again, or
yeah.
you know something?
Yeah.
I really bought Chris so and so as Captain Whatever.
This
but,
is different.
But this, it's a different conversation when you walk
this
out of
is,
this movie, isn't it?
This is the statement I would make, and it goes, it'll just put the ice on game. This was bigger than comic book films. I can't really even compare it to comic book films.
But
even though it's
off,
Joker. Yeah, even though it's Joker, it's a comic book character. This is a movie that, if there is ever one, I love Black Panther. I understood why, but this
but
is.
Yeah, like Black Panther is still a comic book
It's a
book
Marvel film. Film.
It's a Marvel film.
Endgame,
right?
Great.
Marvel, films.
Marvel film. Batman, the third one with Heath Ledger. That is a comic book film. This is. What I think comic book films have always needed. Something so undeniable that I feel like you have to overlook that it's a comic book film. I think you have to overlook this movie is, his performance is one of the best performances I think I've seen. Seriously, man. I have to give it to him. He pulled this off. This is one of those. You are absolutely right. If he doesn't pull it off, if it is any less than what he did in this film, this is the stupidest film of all time.
Okay.
DC is running from Marvel at this point. He just gave DC life.
Yeah.
To me, surprisingly. And it was just a great portrayal of a fictional person. It was just incredible. The mannerisms, the issue, the adversity he felt from outside of himself, the adversity he felt from inside of himself, the way he had to handle his profession, the interactions he had with other actors, the way the disability played itself out in so many different social situations, the romantic element he tried to have, the big twist in the film, which is another reason I feel like people need to see it, because something else that they did very well with this film, the trailer does not represent what this film is.
That's interesting.
It's
interesting to hear that.
When I saw this,
I watched the trailer and I wasn't sure.
Comic book film.
Yeah. No, I didn't think of that, but yeah. I'm thinking, thinking, oh, what do I care that much? And yeah, I love Joaquin Phoenix, but you know something? There are 3 other Joaquin Phoenix movies I can go watch, yeah. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's weird, just really quick to touch on that, what I thought I was getting based on the trailers, and I saw all of them, and even the write-ups on it, it's different. I don't really know how they did that. I think that's maybe 1 or 2 times this year I've said that, kind of like with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Yeah. But this is even beyond that. What you see in the trailer, I saw nothing in the trailers that maybe you necessarily want to see the film. I saw nothing in the trailers that was like, oh, man, I got to go. Oh, this is what they're talking about. This performance, you can see it in the trailer. You can't.
And it was a movie that snuck up on people.
It
has been, because it came with not a lot of fanfare.
Yeah, it is.
I remember when I saw the trailer going, oh, Joaquin Phoenix is playing the Joker? Oh,
yeah.
I must have been missing things. Well, Richard didn't say anything to me.
Yeah, exactly. When I saw it, I was like, this is what everyone is. I didn't see any of it in the trailer. It just looked, honestly, very predictable. I was like, okay, he's going to do some Heath Ledger-looking stuff. They're going to try to reach an audience with some motivational type thing and make him the good guy. It's not that. It's a powerful performance. I would just say the only thing I can think of that comes to mind, what Leonardo DiCaprio, the ride that he took a lot of people on in The Revenant, it is somewhere in that tier of...
Really?
Yeah. It's something like that. Like the bear scene,
yeah.
And that your son died in front of you, and it's something like that where you go, man, he went above and beyond here.
All right, that's Joker.
That's it.
We will be back next month. We'll be back. Obviously, we will talk Irishman, and then Star Wars will be sitting there waiting to land
Absolutely.
On a planet near us.
Absolutely.
We'll talk about that and Absolutely. Anything else that's coming up Christmas time.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
And of course, and I said at the start of the show, our New Year's gift to you will be ranking the greatest boxing movies of all.
Shout out to Canelo Alvarez, the new light heavyweight champion of the world, moved up 2 weight classes and knocked Kovalev out in 11th. Loved it.
Richard, say goodbye to your audience.
Take care, guys.
This has been Movie Richard's Movie Month, a production of the Atlantic Voice Network. Follow us on Twitter @Atlantic_voice, via email @AtlanticVoice@gmail.com, and on the blog @AtlanticVoice.net. Movie Richard's Movie Month.